Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for your word. Lord, don't ever let us, Lord, take it lightly. Don't ever let us, Lord, walk away from how great a gift your word is. But Lord, whenever we hear your word, Lord, we have to choose. We have to make a choice at that point, what we're going to do with the word that we hear. Lord, so help us, the Lord, not be like the guy who looks in the mirror, hears your word, looks in the mirror, and then walks away and forget what kind of person he really is. Lord, help us to look into the perfect law that gives liberty and realize the freedom, Lord, that you bought for us by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking about, because we're preaching about this year, we're talking about being renewed by the word. And the challenge always is, whenever we're talking about stuff that is about working on yourself, right, that we try and do it by ourselves. I think that that is always a big danger, to try and live life alone. And when we, like I was watching over the last probably 6 months, watching Melissa and Jeremiah with Andrew. And Andrew is like crawling around, so they're picking him up, grabbing him. He's running here, you know, on his knees, and then he's running there. But then all of a sudden, you know, they're walking him like this all over the place, right? And then I was talking to Melissa the other day, and she's walking with him, and then he kind of loses his feet, and she's got him by the arm, and he's like, he's got his feet back, you know? So when you're learning something, when you're learning to walk out something, it's good to have someone holding your hands. Or else you land with your head on the ground, and it really hurts. And then, you know, you cry, and mom's got to come and go, it's okay, you know? I'm just trying to give you guys a reminder, because and when you're the person who's already got this whole walk with God thing sort of moving in the right direction, because none of us have it down. No one has it all. We're all growing and learning. But if you're already in a place that you've sort of got this figured out to a degree and you're growing and learning in it, be the person who takes someone by the hand and walks with them for a while, right? I've never seen a parent get angry at their child because they can't walk, right? But sometimes as believers, we look at other people that are struggling in some area of their life and we get ticked off and impatient with them because you should know that already. Well, obviously they don't. So we need to help and we need to keep growing and we need to keep holding each other's hand and helping. So this year we're talking and our theme is being renewed by his word. And it's a really important thing for us to decide that change is needed, not only needed, possible. Because sometimes, you know, we think we heard that word from the Lord this morning, right, that John gave. And I really, when he already gave that, God was already speaking that to me. So I know there's someone in this room that needed to hear that. So, but when you know, God says it's possible, it's possible. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Change is possible. It will require effort on your part. Like, honestly, I think the hardest thing to do is to change your mind, right? I think if you, you know, if you have neighbors that when you were a kid, their kids always beat you up every time you walked by the front of their house, and you would have a hard time talking yourself into believing that when you walked by their house, they were going to beat you up again, right? So there's things in life that we learn that are hard to change because circumstances have pounded it into our head and into our heart that that's the truth. Like, you know, some people, they get in relationships with other people and the relationship always ends up broken. It always ends up hurting them. I remember one family told me, I've been to 14 churches and every one of them hurt me. Will you hurt me too? You know, like so they believed that churches hurt people. That's what they believed, and we hurt them too. You know, and we hurt people. Like, we are people, so we do hurt people. I don't know about you, but once in a while, my wife is really hurt by me. Or sometimes I say hurtful things. We just are people, right? But those people will have a hard time ever settling in a church and believing that churches don't hurt people. We get these thoughts in our minds, and to change the thought in our mind from what it is to what God wants it to be is going to take a lot of effort, a ton of effort on your part. What you have to start doing is believing that what it says in God's word is a higher truth than the truth you already know. If you get hurt in relationships all the time, yeah, it's true. You get hurt. It's hurt. It hurts, right? Like, everybody ever been hurt? It hurts. It hurts a lot. I think relational hurt hurts worse than getting hit in the side of the head with a hammer. Like, it hurts. It hurts right down to your core, you know? But like, if God's word says that there's something better for you, right? He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Then this is the higher truth. And somehow we have to convince ourselves, not only just so that we could say it, but down in our hearts, so it's what creates a reaction and a response in us whenever we want to feel that we're going to get hurt. Right? It's getting the truth into us so much that we believe this truth more than we believe all the truth we've experienced. And this isn't like mind over matter. This isn't power of positive thinking. This is the power of God's word working in us and creating something in us and building something in us so that we can overcome obstacles. Bob sort of talked about it this morning, just a moment. But like, there's some areas in your life where you're really strong. Like, basically, relationally, I'm good. Like, I have a lot of good friends. And I mean, when I was young, I've told the story many times. I used to get hurt all the time. But God healed that. I came to the realization that God loved me, and then all of a sudden I could love myself a little bit more, and then other people love me more. And so basically I don't struggle with relationships. If I lost a friend, I'd feel a little bit sad about it, but I would be like, oh, you know what, I'm sorry. Whenever we can fix this, we'll fix it and we'll just move on. It's not being cold or callous, but my whole life doesn't depend on that anymore. You know, people, we have to believe that the word of God is, the Bible says, quick and it's powerful. It's sharp, right? It's powerful. It divides between what is truly spiritual and what is truly carnal of our fleshly nature. So we have to believe that what God's word says is true. But we can be really strong in one area and really weak in another. Like, I don't have any problem believing for finances. Like, I don't care about money, honestly. I mean, I drive old cars. We live in a pretty plain house. We just bought some new appliances. We always kind of buy the plain, you know, Jane stuff. We don't need all the top end thing. We don't care. Like, it's just not our thing. But it is our thing to give. As a couple, Christine and I were able to give away more money last year than we've ever given away. You know, and it was like we're celebrating that because it was like something. But so, like, I don't worry about money. And money always seems to come. But like, when it comes to health issues, a lot of times I'm fighting that battle. I'm still trying to build God's word into my heart and into my, so that my response when I feel awful is that God is my healer, right? So we need to realize that our minds need to be renewed, right? So we need to work on that. And it's something that we ought to keep at, you know. But so I'm kind of way off my, but anyway, who cares? Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So the good news is that God already wants us to be like Jesus. That's his heart, his desire. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to love like Jesus loved. He wants us to care like Jesus cared. He wants us to think his thoughts, to do what Jesus does. He wants us to be like Jesus. So, you know, our goal should be to love like Jesus loved, to care like Jesus cared, to think like Jesus thought. Because really, truly, if we start thinking the thoughts of Jesus, we'll start living the life of Jesus. And I know that for some people, that's like so far off and removed that you think, yeah, you're crazy. I tried that. Didn't work. But I'm just going to tell you, try again. I wanted to bring this again because I keep forgetting. But this book here is what I'm basing this series on. It's called Renewing the Mind 2.0 by Casey Treat and Wendy Treat. And it's like a really good book. It'll help you. All that I'm teaching right over the last bunch of weeks you can find in here. But it'll help you just to reinforce some things. It'll give you a little bit more background. But buy it. It's $20 on Amazon. They'll have it to your house in 2 or 3 days. That's all. Advertising. They're not paying me. It's all good. So, sitting in church is not going to move you to where God wants you to be in your thinking, in your mind. You know, just sitting here, I've known people that sat in church their whole life, and they died bitter, and they died angry, and they died broke. busted and disgusted, and that's what they did. They spent their life in church, but they never really got the idea of who Jesus was. Some people give their hearts to Jesus, and they're sincere, and they love the Lord, but they still keep living the same life they always live. So just giving your heart to Jesus isn't going to renew your mind either. That's something that you have to decide by an act of your will and by movement of your own physical will to change in your life. You need to do that. So last week we were talking about working out. And it says in Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So this verse could be a little confusing because we know that salvation is free. So let's say, why is it saying we need to work it? And the truth is, this verse is not saying you need to work for your salvation. It's talking about working out your salvation, right? So it's building. And so you could read this. If I were you, I'd take the scripture, write it down, Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Read it in a bunch of different versions. But we looked at it in the Amplified Bible. We looked at it in the Message Bible. And so what we came to last week was that that God has a better life for you than you could ever believe. But you need to get energetic in your life with God. You need to cultivate your heart and plant God's word in it. The Bible solves like the issues of life. It solves the relational issues. It solves racial issues. It solves economic issues. It solves family issues, because it's the truth that will set you free. The Bible said Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That his word is the answer for our life. So many people spend their life in church, but never decide the Bible is true for them. They believe the Bible's true, but they don't really believe it works for them. And we need to believe that. Your soul cannot prosper unless you walk in the truth of God's word. So today I want to talk about, it's a similar idea to what we've been talking about, but it just kind of brings out a really important point. I want to talk about renewing the spirit of your mind. So we're going to look at a scripture. As with all that we have been talking about, this is another invitation in scripture to walk into a better life. It's an invitation to leave behind your old way of thinking and step into God's way of thinking. You know, I'm going to say this especially to the young here. Because when you're young, you don't carry all the baggage and all the stuff that older people carry. You don't have yourself quite as convinced about some of the things that are negative in your life as you do as you get older, right? And have those ideas reinforced. So especially as a young person, get this word of God into your heart. Let it start transforming you. But it says this in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, right? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the whole idea is taking off something, right? So if I was wearing a jacket this morning, I would take off the jacket and say, I'm taking off the old man. I'm laying it aside. And now I'm going to be renewing the spirit of my mind so that I could put on a new man. So it's like you physically taking something off and you physically putting something back on. But in the middle of that process is renewing the spirit of your mind, right? Which the new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we want to live that life. So it's our responsibility to put off the old man with its depression, its depravity, lust, fear, selfishness, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, so that we can put on this new man who is already righteous and holy. This is hard work, I'm just going to tell you. You know, there's some things that are not easy, right? And this is hard work. Because everything that you know will fight against what God's trying to teach you in his word. Because we live in a world that's collapsed, it's fallen, it's broken. The devil has ruined it, really. And so there's so much stuff in our life already, depravity, greed, lust, you know, you can say, well, not me, but I'm going to tell you, most of you talk to someone who knows you well, could point out a few instances where, yeah, you probably need to work on that, right? So, but we are all in this process, right? But you can't get this job done just sitting in a pew, right? It's not going to work. There's this rapper, this is going to date me, probably, I don't even know if anybody will remember this guy, but Michael Peace. I think Marlene would remember. We used to hear him at Kingdom Bound, right, in Lorraine, right? So he had this rap he did. I tried to find it online, but it was so old and so obscure that I couldn't find it anywhere. Except they had the cassette tape for sale on Amazon for like $53. And I was like, I didn't like it that much. But the words went, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like being in a coop doesn't make you a chicken. Being in a garage doesn't make you a car. You might be confused and don't know who you are, right? But that's the problem. We sometimes think we go to church and that changes everything. That we do that, that's our job done for the week, right? But we're confused and we don't know who we are. God has something for us that's more than what we see. And we see it in others sometimes. We see other people doing well. We see other people walking through the same struggles we're going through and not being all broken down by it and ruined by it. And we say, well, why? Why do you love them more than you love me? Why do you treat them better than you treat? It's not that. It's about what you know. It's about what you see. It's about how you see God's word at work in you. You need to see it. You need to build that into your own heart. We can't just throw our Bible on the coffee table at the end of a Sunday morning and expect to grow as a believer. You can't put your Bible under your pillow and hope that maybe by osmosis it'll kind of get all into your heart and your head while you're sleeping. It doesn't work that way. You have to open it. And I realize there's people that can't read, right? There's people, and I think there's some people here that struggle reading and struggle reading God's Word. A lot of times people struggle, and I would say, you know, like if you read the King James Version, it's a very good translation, but it's very hard to read it sometimes. Even the New King James can be hard to read. So pick up a version that you can read, or if you can't read that, or you can't read it all, get online. I think most people have the ability to get online. And you can get a Bible app that will read everything to you. So you can get God's Word. And if you can't get that, then call someone from church and ask them to read a scripture to you every day. Just call and ask. I think that most people here, if you said, could you read a scripture to me? I can't read myself. Would you read a scripture to me? That somebody here will do that for you. All right? So, but we have to get God's Word in. We have to read it. We have to understand it. We have to break it down. We have to let God put it. We have to dig into the Word and apply it to our lives and allow it to renew the spirit of our mind. So what is the spirit of our mind? I would say like it's those unconscious thoughts, those kind of go-to thoughts that you have. We all have go-to thoughts, right? Everybody have go-to thoughts. So for example, this is common. This might be not good talk for in church, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because I'm Ralph. Anyway, you know, when you get married, sometimes, you know, you marry a person who rolls the toilet paper the wrong way, right, over. And I think most people have sort of like a fixation or OCD about this one thing. So when somebody, like for me, it's got to come over the top, right? So you roll it down because underneath it's too hard to find sometimes, right? And they put it too, you put your toilet too close to, well, she can't see it. But anyway, so the toilet paper should go over the top. And some of you are going, you're crazy. It should come over the bottom. It shouldn't come over the top, right? But if you go into a washroom where they have it the wrong way, how many of you wanted to change it? Anybody? Because we have a go-to thought about how our toilet paper should be hung up in the bathroom. Now, that's pretty crude and rude and disgusting to talk about this in church, but you all get it, right? So we have go-to thoughts. We have thoughts that are our natural way of thinking that we've been trained by experience to have, right? So like if you grew up in a house where everybody rolled it over the top, then you roll it over the top. It's my mom's fault that I like it over the top. It's just not my own choice. It's just experience has taught me that's the way to roll your toilet paper. But if you grew up another home and they taught you the other way, then that's how you think, right? You're wrong if you think the other way, and you need to get your head straight, but you need to do it, right? It's good if you hang it up, because it's kind of awful when it's just sitting on the shelf. Anyway. So, I like my own jokes too much, I get lost in them. Spirit of your mind is really habits and thoughts that make you act and react in certain ways. It's really the deep-seated beliefs of our heart. If you believe that everybody's out to get you, which some people believe that life is always going to be bad for them, that things are always going to go bad for them, that, you know, like Eeyore, it's not raining, but probably will, you know, you will sabotage every relationship in your life because of your deep-seated thoughts. Because if something doesn't go wrong, you're going to believe it's that they're lying to you and they're keeping something from you. If you're married to someone and you've had, you know, two or three relationships where someone cheated on you, even if the person is like as faithful as the day is long, you start doubting them. You start like, where were you? You were like left from work 5 minutes ago, and it only takes 3 minutes to go home. Where were you those 2 minutes? You know, and this sounds funny, but this happens. I've counseled people that this is the way life is, but they ruin their own relationship, and they don't do it on purpose, but it's because of deep-seated thoughts that they've not got control of. Their go-to thought is that someone's going to hurt them. Somebody's going to leave them behind. It's the thing that helps us or makes us respond to something in a certain way. So if you're a person that has been sick and your family was sick often, and when a bug starts going around, right, and you're that person that is like always sick and family was always sick, then, you know, the flu bug's been going around this year, supposedly, you know, pretty bad, right? So already, you know, you got the Kleenex box lined up. You've got, like, the vitamin C sitting there ready. You know, you've got everything you need sitting on your little side table beside your favorite chair because, you know, I'm not sick yet, but I always get sick. Whatever goes around, I catch it. I'm going to, for sure, you know, this is going to, you know, not yet, but it won't be long, and I'll be sick, right? Anybody know anybody like that? Right? So if you think like that, chances are you're probably going to get sick. And just telling you, like, I mean, honestly, it's not just always like fate that makes you sick. Like sometimes you just like you attract it like a magnet. I'm sick. Right. So I don't know. I know people that are sick all the time. And if you ask them how they're doing, you know, you say that, you get it halfway to your mouth. How you do? And then you go, oh, no, I shouldn't ask. No, no, no. And then they tell you everything that's wrong with them. Like, oh, my kidney and my pancreas and my head and my nose and that. And you're like, you just, it's so hard to listen to. But honestly, people like that have a hard time because they don't even know they're doing it. Because it's a deep-seated thought that has gotten to their head through experience and time, and now they believe it more than they believe this, right? Like, this is the truth. I'm sick, yes, but the higher truth is by His stripes, I'm healed, right? So, sometimes we get frustrated with these people, but the truth is, they haven't renewed the spirit of their mind. They say what they believe is truth, which is partially true, but not the higher truth. If you knew my dad, if you asked my dad, how you doing, what would he say? Anybody know him? Most excellent. Even if he's having a good day, he'd be saying most excellent. And even after he had a stroke and he was, you know, dragging a foot and almost drooling on himself, and you ask him how you doing, I'm most excellent. Because that was the deep-seated thought in his heart. He was most excellent. And so you need to have thoughts that are according to God's word. Some people might say when he said that, most excellent, it was a lie. But it wasn't. It was the truth of God that he believed was overriding and overrid every situation, every problem he went through. My dad was a pastor. And I'll tell you guys are a friendly church. You guys are. Like, I feel loved in this place. But I know a lot of pastors get beat up all the time, and I know my dad did. Many times got beat up on by people. It was very cruel to him. And he, how you doing? Most excellent. And he would never really have a different, I think one time he told me, I just feel like quitting. And I'm like, what? I've never heard him talk like that. It scared me, you know? But like, so that's the thoughts of God. It's the higher thought than the thought that says everything's bad. So it was his go-to thought. What's your go-to thought? When someone asks you how you are, what's your go-to thought? Blessed, great, stinks, cold. I hate winter. That's my go-to thought right now. I hate winter. Somebody stop praying, it'll keep snowing. I hate winter. Anna wrote this big thing on Facebook about how she's going to cry if it snowed again. I'm going, I'm already crying. It's snowing. Bob's been working on that by faith. See, I have this whole doctrine about snow that you might not believe. You could read it scripturally. I think I could back it up scripturally. But before man sinned, there was no snow. Because they were walking around naked all the time, right? So, like, it couldn't be snowing. So sin brought snow. Anyway. So I want to say this, right? Because this is a good example. If you ask Lorraine how she's doing, she will always say, I'm great. She will. Every time I ask her, how you doing? I'm great. I'm great. I am great. Not that she thinks highly of herself, but she, to me, she's doing really good. When sickness is going around, she will respond with, I don't get sick. I never get sick. I'm not sick. Nope, I don't get sick. And if she's not feeling good, she says, by stripes, I'm healed. And if her body is fighting against her on that whole issue, she beats it to death, really. I remember when she wrecked her knee and she was painting in the prayer room. And she's climbing up the ladder, and I can see she's just like, and she's like, you behave me. Get up there. You get up there. You get up. And she's healed. All right? That's her go-to thought. But Lorraine has spent hours upon hours upon hours and really years making her mind be renewed to God's word about healing. So I'm not where she is. Like, if I wreck my knee, I'm going to lay on the couch. I'm going to get comfortable for a while. I'm not climbing ladders for sure, and I'm not yelling at my knee because people already think I'm crazy, and I don't really want to confirm it, right? But what is your go-to thought about that? What are you thinking about what God's Word says? Every time you sit down in a chair, you all sat down here this morning, and every time you sit in a chair, you feel fairly comfortable with the idea that that chair is going to hold you, right? Because you sit down, the chair doesn't break, and life is good, right? But what if you sat in a chair and every second chair you sat in broke? Would you feel the same way about that chair? Would you have the same go-to thought about a chair, right? Because we, by experience, have learned that chairs hold us up. Our go-to thought is the chair is going to hold me up. I remember I was in Bogota, Colombia, and Spanish people are little, right? But I'm not little. So they have this stadium or this amphitheater, whatever, this big sports arena, and they have all these little plastic, you know, those $6 lawn chairs you get at Canadian Tire on sale? Well, and the floor's slippery, right? So I'm like sitting on this chair, and I can feel the legs going like this, right? So it looks like a little calf in the springtime, my chair. And every time I move a little bit, the chair starts to go lower and lower and lower, right? And I'm like, so I'm sitting there with my feet up against the front, leaning on the front, holding these legs in so I can sit on this chair. After about, and they preach a lot. Like, I was in like probably 12 hours a day of services. So finally I decided I'd move to the concrete, you know, bleachers instead, but that didn't go well either. I'm still feeling the results of that. But like, when you're confident about something, you believe it, right? What we have to do is get confident about God's word. Paul was saying in this verse that we need to take off the old person that we were, lay it aside, and renew our minds so that we can live a better life, a God kind of life. I won't lie to you. Again, it's hard work. It's the hardest thing in the world to change a predetermined thought. Like, it's so hard. Like for years, we didn't have money. We were broke. Like, honestly, we were taking money off our house, adding to our mortgage, just trying to get through life. When Christine was home, the kids were little, we just didn't have money, right? And so every time we bought something, it was a big ordeal, you know? So like I said, the last couple months, we've had to replace some appliances. And my go-to thought is Kijiji, right? And so Christine says, like, Ralph, we don't have to live like that anymore. We can go buy a new appliance. It's okay. God's provided for us. We can do this, right? But my thought, even while we're buying it, is I got the itchy, scratchy, $500 for a dryer. Ah, you know, I could buy a car for that. And I have. But, like, we have to change the way we think. I remember we used to live in Welland. And we sold our house before we built this house, and we moved into my in-laws' house. So they lived in Fawn Hill. So I'd be coming back from the church to go home. And I was just the same road, really going to Fawn Hill or going to Welland, except at one point you turn a different way, you know. So I think three times in the first couple of weeks I found myself parked in my old driveway and ready to go walk in the house. And I'm like, I don't live here anymore. But my go-to thought was to go to that house. Where are your thoughts taking you? Where are your thoughts taking you to? Where are your thoughts leading you? Are they leading you into a life where your relationship with God is strong, where you can have a healthy marriage, where you can, you know, get along good with your kids? Is this life that you're living, are the thoughts that you're thinking leading you into, you know, positive relationships with others? Are they leading you into a better, you know, even a better career or a better life? Are they leading you there, or are they leading you to self-destruct all the time? Are they leading you into chaos and confusion all the time? If they're leading you into that kind of life, you need to renew your mind. And even if your thoughts are decent, keep renewing your mind. We are changing all the time. How many of you notice that? I think you notice it more. Oh, now that our kids are getting older and Christy, you know, started a new career and we're like just, you know, like, so we're just like, our lives have changed so much and we're sometimes, I'm like, hey, you, who are you? Maybe we should go for dinner sometime, have a date so we get to know each other again. You know, because our lives are changing. So don't ever stop renewing your mind. Don't ever stop building. Don't ever give up on God's word. Let it keep growing in you. Our go-to thoughts are affecting relationships, our health, our finances, our families. You know, it's that way. But Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24, again, the same verse from the Message Bible. It's good to read in different versions sometimes. It kind of brings things out. It says, since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, has to go. It has to go. We have to move that way of thinking out of our lives, and so that has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself out into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. So the whole idea of this thought is that it's got to get in you, work in you, and then it's just going to come out naturally. Right? Sometimes we're just trying to correct our thoughts, right? Correct our way of speaking, but our thought life doesn't change. Like, I grew up in the whole, you know, word of faith, you know, back in the day, and a lot of it was like people would go around, they see a house they like, and they try and pray the people out of the house or pray the people out of the car because that was their car. Name it, claim it, it's mine, right? And that was dumb. That was a stupid idea, right? Because it's not just changing what we say to get what we want. It's changing our hearts so we can be Christ-like and let the life of Christ flow out of us. That's what renewing our minds is about, is changing our nature through the Word of God so that our nature will be more like the nature of Jesus. In the Amplified Bible, it says, strip yourself of your former nature. Put off, discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusions. Right? That the way you're thinking when it's not God's Word, it's a delusion. It's not really true. It's God's Word is truer. It's more true. So, and be constantly, so whether you're starting out this walk or whether you've been walking it for 30 years, constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. So, if you could change your thoughts, your go-to thoughts, the spirit of your mind, you could change your life. I used to work for a multi-level marketing company, you know, and I did opportunity meetings. And we'd get up and we'd tell everybody, don't you want to be someone you're proud of? Don't you want to always have that car that you always wanted to have? Blah, 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 blah. This is not what this is. This is a new life that God's offering us. This is not some, you know, get-rich-quick scheme or get-what-you-want scheme. This is not what the Bible is about. The Bible is about turning us and growing us into the nature of Christ. Right? This is who we are becoming like Christ. The Bible said fully mature in the full stature of Christ. That's what our goal is, to become like Jesus. And the only way we can become like Jesus is if we start thinking the thoughts of Jesus. Will the spirit of your mind keep you lazy, fearful, keep you out of relationships that are good for you, keep you stuck, or will you fight through it and walk in all that God has for you? The problem is, and this is the biggest problem, most of us are comfortable in our mess. We have gotten used to the life we're living, and so we stay in the life we're living. We stay because it's comfortable. I know people that they have so many problems, and even though they've had offers of someone to walk with them and help them, you know, get their life in order, are fearful to do it because they won't know who they are when their life gets sorted out. Like the person who's always giving you a recital about everything that's wrong with them, many times they won't even know who they are if they give that life up. We become comfortable in our mess. Nick shared this story. It was a political story, but I want to use it in a little bit different way. Because I really think that the enemy of our soul is always trying to imprison us. The devil is always trying to take our thoughts, take the thoughts of God and twist them. He did it with Eve. Did God really say? And so many of us are living in a really confined life, in a confined space, because we believed what the devil had to say. So I want to read the story. It was written to be a political kind of thing, so don't take it as that. Thinking about this and think about what I'm saying about our thoughts and our captivity, okay? So, do you know how to catch wild pigs? The professor thought it was a joke and asked for the punchline. The young man said, no, this is not a joke. You catch wild pigs by finding a suitable place in the woods and putting corn on the ground. The pigs find it and begin to come every day to eat the free food. When they are used to coming every day, you put a fence down on one side of the place where they are used to coming. And when they get used to that fence, they begin to eat the corn again, and you put up a fence on another side. And then they get used to that and start to eat again, and you continue until you have all four sides of the fence up with a gate in the last side. The pigs, which are used to free corn, start to come through the gate to eat the free corn again. You then slam the gate on them and catch the whole herd. Suddenly, the wild pigs will realize they've lost their freedom. They run around and around inside the fence, but they're caught. So they go back to eating the free corn. They are so used to it that they have forgotten how to forage in the woods for themselves. So they accept their captivity. And so many of us have accepted the captivity of where our minds are today. We have gotten used to the life we're living, and we don't believe there's a better life, and there is a better life. I'm telling you, there's a better life for you. There's a better life for me, but we need to get God's word into our heart. We can't settle, and I know that it's our nature to try and settle sometimes. And this is a scripture, and I've preached a whole series on this before called From Passé to Passion. And it was, the scripture was found in 2 Kings 13. It says, in God's eyes, this Jehoash, I think it was, lived an evil life. He didn't deviate one bit from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who led Israel into a life of sin. He plodded along in the same track, step after step. And it goes on, he's talking to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha's near death. And so the king is worried because without the prophet to tell him what's going to happen and how to defeat the enemy, he is helpless. But he's lazy because we already read. He just plodded along in the same old path. He's not doing anything to change his life. He's not doing anything for the nation. So Elisha says, well, pick up some arrows, right? And so he picked them up. And then he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And the king struck the ground three times, and then he quit. And the holy man became angry with him and said, why didn't you hit the ground five or six times? Then you would beat Aram until he was finished. As it is, you will defeat him only three times. So the story is kind of sad, because here's a man who had opportunity to change. He is actually a contemporary of one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. The story of Elisha is that when he died, you know, one day they were running, I think it was a funeral, and they had to run, and they threw the guy into his grave, and his body landed on the bones of Elisha, and he was raised from the dead. There was just so much anointing in the man. But this king lived as a contemporary of Elisha, could have grown and learned and become so much more than he had become. But he wanted to go to God when he was in an emergency. He wanted God to help him to sort out his mess, but he didn't want to do anything himself to help that situation along. And he plodded along in the same old path. He lived in a comfort zone. He lived in a place of comfort. And instead of saying, I'm going to fight, I'm going to do something for myself, I'm going to do something for my nation, he just settled. Today, we are in the same place, so many of us, you know. We have an opportunity for something better. And it's not just about us. We might not have a nation that relies on us. We might not be the hope of our nation, but we are the hope of the next generation. We are the hope of our neighborhood. We're the hope of our workplace. And if we would just not settle, if we would just not plod along in the same old way, but if we would take some effort, if we would put something in to renew our minds, it could change the world. It could change our families. It could change our life. This is not just about us. This is about God's kingdom. So I'm just saying, there's a better life. It could be yours. You just have to decide. So what about you? Are you ready to make some changes? Are you ready to get into God's plan for your life? Here's what it says, and this is our theme scripture. It says, I beseech you, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order to prove by what is that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightfully handling, and skillfully teaching the word of God. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful that it's true and that it's for us and that we can believe in it and trust in it. And Lord, that we know it's from you. So Lord, we know as we read this that we could have a better life. Lord, we realize that it takes effort on our part. Lord, I just pray, God, I pray that we'd all be willing to leave our comfort zones. Lord, that we wouldn't just plod along. Lord, that we wouldn't discard our responsibility to others. Lord, sometimes we think that this life that we're being called into is just for us so that we can have a better life. But It's so that people could see your glory in us and that they could give thanks to you. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just stir in us, Lord, a holy passion for your name, a passion for your word, Lord, a desire, Lord, to grow in you and to serve you with all our hearts and lives. I pray this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.